The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
70 KMED. Here's Bill Myers.
Delighted to have you here, the very first Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday of 2025. And if you wanted to join in, of course, Pebble in Your Shoe is when, after the holiday, and you get rid of all the Christmas meals and you've done all the returns, and then you realize that, yeah, there's still something which is teeing you off a little bit. That's okay. This is what you call the show for. 770-563-3770-KMED. Mike O'Neill is going to join me after 6:30. We're going to talk about some of the legal news that is percolating around the situation, especially when I ask him about this Juan Marchand clown who is going to sentence President Trump on Friday. And I wanted to try to get to the bottom of the various permutations in the legal world of conditional discharge or unconditional discharge. These are just the things I don't really understand, because it seems like they can mean different things in different times. And, well, we'll talk with Michael about that. And also, what is going on with the Supreme Court? Got a pretty busy docket that they're going to be working on here starting this week. Okay? All right. Kamala Harris certified President Trump's electoral victory in Congress yesterday. Took about 35, 40 minutes or so. And it must have been really... really weird several times to have again and again and again the various states in, calling her Madam President. Calling her Madam President, right? So anyway, we have that story in there. So that finally that is done. We also heard lots of people talking about it was the fourth anniversary of the insurrection. The most incompetent, most ill-planned insurrection that I've ever seen in my life. If I hear the term insurrection one more time, I just want to spit at whoever brings this out. Because what insurrection do people not bring guns and do not have politicians hanging from yardarms? not that I'm advocating such things like this, but when you look at things past, people are arrested and, the military comes in and arrests the politicians, or people get control of the military and then arrest the existing people. It's just nonsense, which has been going on here, and they just will not let go of it. I hope we can finally go beyond this and actually get some justice for the people who have been essentially imprisoned for trespassing in the nation's capital, supposedly the people's houses. Can we all agree on that much? Justin Trudeau, like we mentioned yesterday in the show, it looked like he was getting ready to resign, and he did almost at the end of yesterday's show. He's going to remain in office until the replacement is selected. Let's see, some other decent news here. Oh, McDonald's reverses their DEI initiatives, so they're no longer going to be looking at just color. You think it's a... yeah. In other words, it'll be, can you actually do the job? And what a concept, right? Such a concept that someone would actually just be able to do their job, and we're not sitting around there and counting the color of the beans in the Bean Counter Studios. All right. Some other good news this morning. If Senate Majority Leader John Thune, if his count of the votes is correct, Pete Hegseth has the votes to be the next Secretary of the Defense and running the Pentagon. I would say that's pretty good news, wouldn't you? We can certainly talk about that if you wish. Some other good news. Here it is, Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. I'm not supposed to have any good news for you, but I'm going to give you some anyway. Meta just announced. Meta is the company, of course, behind Facebook, Instagram. Meta said that it would stop using fact checkers and instead rely on Facebook and Instagram users to add notes or corrections to posts. The move is likely to please the Trump administration. By the way, that that last part, pleasing the Trump administration, that's from the headlines in the New York Times. So the New York Times added that. And yet they're right about that. New York Times is probably true that the Trump administration would be happy that Facebook and Instagram and Meta not being involved in the censorship program any longer, and that they'll let people add comments to something. In other words, the solution to speech that people don't like is to have more speech. You have more speech. Of course, you know, the part that gets kind of irritating about this, you know, President Trump coming in, even when President Trump was saying, gosh, you know, they were all fighting me last time, and now they're, you know, they're trying to get along with me. Even that's irritating me a little bit. Is that bothering you? I hope this is not one of those things where he's going to be the fall guy set up to take the deep state, be the bag man, or left holding the bag for the deep state. Gosh, they're not fighting me this time, and oh, now we're going to be in a big war. I don't know. Maybe that's too much of a... This, you know, see, that's a particularly proper comment for Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, right? But still, Meta said it would stop using fact checkers and instead rely on Facebook and Instagram users to add notes or corrections to posts. Okay, fine. The move is likely to please the Trump administration. How about it's just the right thing to do, New York Times? It's just the right thing. Whether it pleases the Trump administration coming in or not is irrelevant. It's just the right thing to do. And shouldn't we be happy with that? Fair enough. 16 minutes after 6. Have some other headlines here, too. KDRV doing a little bit of reporting on the lowered speed limits in downtown Medford. Oh, my goodness. Someone's making bank. And it's not you. We'll tell you about that story coming up.
American Industrial Door invites you to see their Wayne Dalton wood grain finish collection. Transform your curb appeal with high-quality, non-repeating wood grain that looks like a real wood door. The innovative design blends the strength of steel with the timeless beauty of wood. Wayne Dalton offers a variety of simulated wood finishes and window configurations, too. Count on the quality of Wayne Dalton and the expert service and installation of American Industrial Door. Showrooms on Crater Lake Avenue north of Vilas and Union Avenue in Grants Pass.
Do you take safe drinking water for granted? If you have a well for your water, no one's monitoring what's in your water. It's up to you to be sure that the water you and your family are drinking is safe and free of contaminants. Get your well tested now. Grants Pass Water Lab offers next day results for bacteria tests and a speedy 3 to 5 days for a full reporting that meets all state requirements. Online at gpwaterlab.com. Independent and serving the Rogue Valley for over 40 years.
Are you a parent of a 2 to 8 year old? Listen closely for an exciting offer, then head to abcmouse.com/radio to learn more. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
We're offering a promo at abcmouse.com/radio to try it for free for a month, then $14.99 per month until canceled. Go to abcmouse.com/radio to see this offer. That's abcmouse.com/radio. Actual ABC Mouse users compensate for their testimonials, sponsored by Age of Learning.
Hi, I'm Cassie from Clouser Drilling, and I'm on KMED.
18 minutes after 6, 770-5633. It is open phones on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Now, I had all that great news coming out of Washington, D.C. a few minutes ago. Now we have to go to the Oregon news. It's maybe that's more a Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday kind of appropriate headlines, okay? But we had a federal judge has rejected the efforts to stop the tribal-owned casino from being built here in Medford. Okay, this was being reported yesterday. Remember, there were a number of other tribes that were not real happy with the Coquill tribe. The Coquill tribe planned to do the deal with the old bowling alley in South Medford. And several local tribes filed the lawsuit last month. And anyway, a federal judge ended up just rejecting that. In response to the rejection here, this according to KOBI, KOBI 5, chairman of the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Tribe of Indians, Carla Keene, saying, "This decision is one procedural step in the administrative process. It is not the final word. We'll continue to fight for what is fair and just for all tribes, not just one tribe." The tribes claim a Medford casino would cause irreparable harm to their economic, environmental, cultural, and historic well-being. In other words, it would be competition for our casinos wherever they happen to be. I mean, that's honestly, isn't that really what we're talking about? And so I have come to the conclusion that there's only one way we're going to get past all this conversation and all this drama and tumult is that if you are an Indian tribe, you get to have your casino in Medford. Everybody has to have a casino in Medford. Everyone. We'll take exit 99, move the Cow Creek Casino. You're going to have to move it down here. You move it down here. You have it there next to the little casino in South Medford. We just had the Siletz tribe take over, a couple thousand acres of land over on the Table Rock. We'll have to have the Table Rock Casino out there. Wind River. I forget the names of all the various tribes, and I'm sorry that I'm not that well versed in it, but everybody gets their casino right here. Everyone. I'm sure that the chamber would be thrilled with something like this because, by gosh, we'd have, just loads of tourism come in. We'd just be drowning in tourism dollars and the hotel rooms would be full at all times. And yes, I'm being extremely sarcastic. All right. And then the city of Medford. The Jackson County Airport can be kind of like the McCarran Airport from time to time. You know, have you ever been in McCarran in Vegas and you see people that have lost everything they had at the gaming tables? And they're trying to find way, actually trying to do some begging to get home. You've seen those, haven't you? I think everybody has heard, if they've not seen them themselves, they've heard of those kind of situations. But that's okay. That's all right. Everyone should get their own casino, and this way they could just suck Southern Oregon dry. But it would be helpful for everybody else that's not actually a resident of Medford. We can talk about that if you wish. 770-563-3770-KMED. Oregon now days away. Largest health care strike in our state history could be coming up Friday. Oregon Nurses Association putting out the release, and they're planning on having all 5,000 of their workers striking at Prov on Friday. Big deal. Big deal. ONA and Providence have not been able to come to terms on a new contract. Following the old deal, the most recent development, the two bargained for 5 days until December 20th, and there was a cool-down period ended December 26th. So Oregon Nurses Association announcing the strike yesterday afternoon, okay? Now, they're claiming dangerous practices like understaffing critical care units and emergency rooms that delay care and endanger patients. Prov has ignored its responsibilities to its workers, its patients, and Oregonians. I find that interesting. And by the way, I have no accident. I've had very good care at Providence and with Asante. But I've not noticed a huge explosion of malpractice cases like what Asante is battling right now. And of course, Asante is dealing with the problem with, caused by one patient. But they're talking about their responsibilities. I don't know if, on one hand, we're told that we have to try to keep costs down. And then everybody wants to be able to just get in right away to their doctor. It's not possible. You're not going to keep your costs down and have your instant doctor. So we've had a lot of providers leave. We've had a lot of contracts canceled. And it's just getting tight. It's getting really tight and critical in the medical world. I'm not making, making light of this sort of situation. But, the nurses deserve a fair contract. They do good work over at Providence, do good work at Asante, too, for that matter. But I don't know. I'm not convinced that the money is there as much as some are saying. 23 minutes after 6. We can talk about that or anything else on your mind here because it is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Let me go to line one. Hi, Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. This is Bill. Who's this?
Hey, Bill. This is Vicki from the Applegate.
Vicki, another Happy New Year day. What's up?
Well, first of all, I'm having knee replacement surgery at Providence next month, so good. I hope they get it all figured out.
Yeah, good for you. That knee replacement may be delayed a little bit if it goes on much longer,
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other pebble I have in my left shoe is, you were talking about
Can't remember it? Oh, no.
No, I can. Just a minute.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you on hold. I'll go to the next call. I'll come back, okay? You remember it, then I'll get back to you. I like that part. Let me go to line two. Hi, good morning.
Hey, Bill. Swell Salmon.
Steve, how you doing?
I am still here. That's the good news.
Glad to hear it. What's up?
got two pebbles. One of them is people who are driving with high beam lights on or jacked up trucks or people who just don't have their headlights adjusted. I haven't been driving much at night, and I've been going to some meetings in Jacksonville in the evening, and my goodness, it's hard to see, and people's cars just don't have the headlights adjusted.
I would tend to agree with you. I would also say, though, that the especially the more modern cars that have the high intensity discharge lights, the HID lights, those are, I swear that those are designed to burn the cornea off of drivers that are, you know, coming towards the truck or car that they have. They really are. Yeah. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Well, I some of them are. I know one of them was a jacked up pickup, and so they spent thousands of dollars to raise the thing up in the air, and mm-hmm. they didn't adjust the headlights. So they're right, especially when they get behind you. But this guy, I was going down Ross Hanley, and his lights, you know, I flicked mine up bright because...
Well, that's a violation I think doesn't get paid too much attention by police officers. Doesn't seem to be, at least.
I think that's true. And people think it's cool to have HID lights, so they put them in cars that wasn't designed for them.
Yeah. Or else the other ones that they like, too, that they'll put in the super, super blue lights. You know those ones?
Yes.
Yeah. They're almost violet. I'm sure they make sense, and they're perfectly legal. Said no one ever.
Nobody ever does anything, just like they don't do anything about the diesel pickups with no mufflers. But that's a whole other thing.
Oh, man. Hey, come on. That's manly and manful stuff. That's like rolling coal, buddy. Okay?
Yeah, I know. But, man, oh, man, it's just amazing how many of them there are. And there's a stoplight near where I live, and so they think it's a drag strip, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is something about that. They tune up their diesels, their power strokes, and their big Ram diesels, yeah. and just roar them. Yeah, it's kind of like the modern hot rod, I guess. That's the, you know, the hot rod of today.
Yeah, no kidding. The other pebble I have is those roundabout things. They're all dangerous. When they put that one on Ross Hanley, I thought it was kind of a cool thing to see how fast I could go through there because there was no traffic. And so then a car appears out of that subdivision. You can't see if there's a car coming.
Mm-hmm.
And if they come into it from that subdivision on the right with all of them have that same problem. I was on roundabouts way back a long time ago in Korea, and they were usually four lanes, and they were usually at an eight-lane intersection. And there is a thing you're supposed to do. If you go into the roundabout and you're not going out the next exit, the next road that comes in, you move to the inner lanes. They were like four lanes wide.
Oh. Well, I remember seeing roundabouts like that in Paris at the Champs-Élysées.
Yeah.
They had that. Yeah. And the other thing, though, I would say, not only that, have you noticed how many skid marks are showing up on that Highway 238 roundabout because the trucks go through it straight? It went right through it. They can't go through the roundabout part of it. Pretty funny.
Well, yeah, they've just taken the concept, but they didn't put the whole thing in place. Those ones you see in Paris and the ones that were in Korea, they were probably 10 acres of land, you know?
Well, everything about this is minimizing the use of acreage. That's why they did that. Appreciate the pebbles there, and thanks for it. I wish I could do something for you about that. I also wish that I would love to see them start popping people for not putting on their turn signal as they exit. That's what state law says, by the way. You know that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. I'm glad you did. See, you're a good driver. You're supposed to do that. Thanks for the call. Let me go back to Vicky. Vicky, did you figure out what you forgot?
Yeah, a couple sips of coffee. I'm good.
Good. Glad to hear it. Go ahead. Continue.
Okay. So my mom always told me, keep your friends close and keep your enemies closer. Well, in Trump's case, he's saying, oh, well, they're being so nice to me. Well, that to me is a red flag. I mean, they have been after him for years, and now all of a sudden they're on, you know, trying to be all cuddly, cuddly.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And here is why, because Trump is very subject to flattery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. I mean, we all have our issues. That is his one issue to deal with, his one cross to bear. Whoever was last in the room kissing his behind tends to get what they want. Okay.
Well, and the fact that the New York Times put that last little comment in about this might be good for the Trump administration. That's just another
it's another bone being thrown, right? Yeah.
Well, for the Trump haters, that's just like, oh my God, he's happy. No, we can't have him happy, you know?
Yeah, but the thing is, though, what irritates me most about that headline is that Meta should be doing this, getting rid of the censorship, because it's the right thing to do, not because it might please or may not please the Trump administration. That's all. All right. Thank you, Vicky. Let me go to line three, then we'll have to wrap it soon. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
All right, Bill, this is Terry.
Terry. How you doing?
And the pebble in my shoe involves you, but I'm sort of saying names, yes.
All right.
You know, the higher pronunciations of these words that we always used to call differently than they're calling now, like Kiev and Kiev, and Coquill and Coquill. I mean, come on, let's call it Coquill. That's what we've called it for 50-plus years.
Well, you see, it is. You have to understand, though, there actually are two separate pronunciations for the name, though, and I looked it up. It is the Coquill River and the Coquill Tribe. That's why I make a distinction, okay?
All right. I'm just giving you a hard time, Bill.
All right. Well, just saying, I'm doing my best to actually do it right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Terry.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay, see you later. Let me go to Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hey, Bill, this is Wayne.
Hey, Wayne, what are you thinking?
Well, you were out. I was dying to call you, but you were out on vacation. Well-deserved, by the way.
Thank you.
But did you hear about back east there was some fire truck that broached the crossbars and caused an accident with a passenger train?
No, I didn't hear it. Where did that happen?
I don't remember the state it was in or the city, but I thought when I heard it, I couldn't believe it. I mean, firemen of anybody should be obeying the law across, you know, across marks in a fire thing. And there was a lot of people injured. There weren't any deaths, so that's good.
Oh, man. So he took the fire truck across the tracks and then the train, you know, nailed it, right? Is that what happened, you said?
Yeah. Yeah, there were two trains, and I guess one train was blocking the faster passenger train.
Oh.
And, you know, but a fire truck should never do that.
Yeah, well, I guess the funny thing here about it, Wayne, is that in spite of our efforts, humans are still driving the fire truck, too. And humans, we tend to make errors, even firemen. Appreciate the call. Thanks for that. Let me go to line two, and that'll wrap it for this Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Nope, I guess you hung up. You got to hang on. You got to hang on if you're going to do that. One must be patient. Line one. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hi, it's Cherry.
Cherry, Happy New Year. Oh, haven't heard from you. Thank you very much. That was a wonderful Christmas card you sent me. I just wanted to say that. Very sweet.
Honey, I'm so glad. Well, I just have a pebble about the Golden Globes, the show, the movies.
Did you actually watch the Golden Globes? Really?
I did.
Well, I guess someone had to, so it was your turn, yeah. Huh?
I didn't even know what was on, but the jokes were terrible. But the one joke that was kind of funny by Nikki Glaser, the comedian host, said she looked at Harrison Ford, who looked like about 93, not so good, but anyway, very cheerless person. She said, Harrison Ford, who would you like to work with? Zendaya, Rihanna, and he said, Indica.
Indica? I'm not getting it. Am I supposed to get that? Or why am I not getting that?
Indica is marijuana.
Oh, okay. You see, I didn't run with the you know, the crowd like you did back in those crazy times. You know, I had boring life when I was growing up. Boring stuff. Yeah. You know,
no.
I just went out and looked for Indian arrowheads and things like that. That's all I ever did. All right.
Oh my gosh.
But so anyway,
it was a kind of a cheerless show. I saw two movies out of 20. And
did the one about the transgender cartel guy win?
No, yeah, they won everything, and so did Wicked. I never saw that. You know what are they doing? I mean, it's just it's terrible. And this cartoon got a nod as well. This iRobot or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
But the best movie that I have seen is Speak No Evil with James McAvoy. I love him.
You had mentioned that before, and I appreciate the reviews as always. And I hope you keep them coming, all right? You be well.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
All right. Thank you. 6:35 at KMED. Mike O'Neill, we're going to talk about the Trump legal issue still. Yeah, they're talking about sentencing him. He's not backing down. Going to sentence President Trump on Friday. Conditional discharge or an unconditional discharge? What kind of a discharge is being thrown on? Well, I mean, when it comes to discharges, the discharge in my mind, the imagination runs wild, but we'll talk about that coming up.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford. NoWiresNow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
Hi, it's John at Wellburns Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Wellburns is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Code, Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more. And we can order practically any suppressor on the market. Check in with us for monthly incentives to save on suppressors, too. Come see the suppressor experts. Wellburns Weapons on Crater Lake Highway, just south of White City.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Oregon Republican lawmakers are again pushing the OSAA to bar transgender athletes from participating in girls' sports. State Representatives Dwayne Yunker and Ed Deal sent a letter to Peter Weber, president of the Oregon School Activities Association, asking him to protect the rights of biological females in athletic programs. They suggest a separate open category created for trans students. Jackson County has a new district attorney. Former Chief Deputy DA Patrick Green was sworn in Monday. His biggest case as DA nears, former Asante nurse Danny Marie Schofield faces 44 counts of second-degree assault for her alleged role in replacing prescription fentanyl with non-sterile tap water at Rogue Regional Medical Center, causing harm to patients, 16 of whom allegedly died. The Oregon Nurses Association planning to have 5,000 healthcare workers strike at Providence facilities across the state Friday, including Providence Medford Medical Center. The last contract between the parties expired in March. Bill Lennon, KMED.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. From Missouri to Virginia, the season's first major winter storm knocked out power to tens of thousands of utility customers, and in the wake of the snow and ice, bitter cold has settled in. Southern California bracing for another bout of notoriously dry Santa Ana winds, as well as a heightened risk of wildfires in areas that haven't seen any significant rainfall in quite a while. A powerful earthquake has shaken a mountainous region of western China. At least 95 people were killed. Congress has formally certified Donald Trump's win in the November presidential election. Security was tight, given the events of 4 years ago at the U.S. Capitol. Judge Juan Merchan has denied President-elect Trump's request to halt Friday's sentencing, Mr. Trump's New York criminal case. On Wall Street this morning, stocks opening higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Looking for durable and custom-fit metal roofing? Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. specializes in metal roofing. With two portable snap-lock machines, they pull right up to your door, allowing them to custom-cut every panel for a perfect fit. With over 18 years of experience, they serve Jackson, Josephine, and Curry counties, offering reliable roofing solutions tailored to your needs. Licensed, bonded, and insured for your peace of mind. Visit stephenwestfallroofinginc.com today for your free estimate. CCB number 250730.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
And you're about to hear Mike O'Neill. Mike O'Neill, big legal brain. We've talked with him several times over the years here, and we're glad to have him in the new year at Landmark Legal Foundation. LandmarkLegal.org. And what do you fight for there again, Mike, for those who may have just crawled out from underneath their rock for the new year? What do you say?
Pleasure to be with you, Bill. Happy New Year. We fight for liberty, and we fight against tyranny. We promote separation of powers, and we are constitutional lawyers who promote the Constitution. First Amendment, the Bill of Rights, and we believe that the American people have a right to liberty, and we fight for it every day.
Great. How do you get paid, by the way? Is it by donations or foundations? How does that work?
Yep, we are a tax-exempt entity. We don't take any government money. We don't take any grants from any government entity. We are fully funded by private donations.
Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it. So that means that you'll actually be, doing an honest, lawyerly day work then, all right? Now, let's talk about Juan Merchan here, because Friday is supposedly going to be the sentencing day for President Trump, and President-elect Trump, of course, is facing this. This is about the felony case, which I'm still trying to understand how they were able to take these misdemeanors and blow them up into felonies. And could you explain briefly how that happened and how he finds himself in this? And what is this whole deal? Go ahead.
Sure. What they did was they linked this to federal violations of campaign finance law that, incidentally, if you recall that, the money was used for a political purpose, right? And the FBI, the Federal Election Commission, everybody in the Fed denied the opportunity. Even the left-wing Biden-controlled Department of Justice said, no, we're going to take a pass on charging Trump with these political violations, these political reporting violations. But the district attorney in New York City was able to link these supposed federal violations into a state violation and thereby toll the statute of limitations and elevate these up to these felony cases. It was a really, really specious argument. It was very out of the ballpark. Most lawyers, with their assault criminal attorneys, were able to say, look, this is something that's never done. Clearly, this was for political motivation. This was one of the salvos of the lawfare that seemed unceasing for the past 2 years. And they were, again, what were they able to do? They were able to secure a jury trial in the, I think if you look at the statistics now, you look at how it came out in the 2024 election in November, overwhelmingly, we're talking 80-90% blue people voted against Donald Trump. So we knew Donald Trump was never going to get a fair trial. The judge, Juan Merchan, denied every opportunity to transfer this. Supposedly, we all like to think that we're entitled to a fair and impartial jury. Certainly, that wasn't the case during this trial. And they were able to use this. And again, if you want to, we could spend hours and hours talking about all the specious rulings that were made by Merchan regarding evidentiary standards, regarding jury instructions, everything. The Trump attorneys and the president now, President-elect Trump, were really fighting this battle with both hands tied behind their back. Unsurprisingly, of course, we were able. The district attorney was able to secure these felony convictions, and now what do we see? We see this sentencing that's going to happen here on January 10th. Again, Juan Merchan denied the opportunity to push back the sentencing and say, hey, look.
Yeah, because the Trump people were asking for a delay to see how the appeal would work out, right? The appeal first,
right? Yeah, okay. And the issue on appeal, again, is this issue of presidential immunity. Remember, the Supreme Court laid out a fairly broad case that the president enjoys certain presidential immunities when acting in his presidential capacity. And how does that case affect the state criminal case that we're talking about here? Incidentally, I think President Trump has a lot of things on his plate right now. I think trying to form a new government, trying to get space, trying to negotiate with China, negotiate with Russia. There's a lot of things going on. But of course, Juan Merchan has to have his day and the left has to have their day and get the last gasp of this lawfare that's been waged unceasingly against the president. So it looks like we're going to have this hearing or this sentencing on January 10th. I did read a news report, Bill, that said that the president's going to has agreed to appear virtually on this. That was one of the options. So I saw that, I think, yesterday. So I think he might be appearing virtually. Now, we could talk about the sentencing. I don't think there's not going to be any kind of criminal. There's not going to be any kind of time served or jail because for a couple of reasons. Number one, I don't believe that a state judge has the power to imprison the president of the United States. We're talking separation of powers issues. And number two, I don't think it's practical. I think he understands this. But look, the goal of this was always what? The goal was to have this felony conviction on the books so that the left can say that Donald Trump is the first convicted felon to serve as president. For some reason, even though the American people have resoundingly rejected this, overwhelmingly rejected this in November, the left seems committed to having this kind of feather in their cap, and that is being able to have this notoriety of saying, oh, President Trump, the first felon convicted president to serve ever or to be sworn in. So it was imperative for the left to have this done before the the inauguration in a couple of weeks, and that's why you see the January 10th hearing.
So this is the looking for a win, I suppose. Now, there has been talk about what Judge Marchand is going to issue is right. What's called a conditional discharge or an right. unconditional discharge, and I don't understand what either one of those mean, because it seems like they're almost contradictory at times. That there could be conditions on an unconditional discharge and vice versa, you know, that kind of thing. Could you explain what that means?
Sure. This is an effort to preserve the conviction, right? To say that he does. They're trying to have it both ways here. They're trying to say, okay, we recognize that we don't have the power to sentence President Trump to anything. They can't sentence him to community service. Mm-hmm. They can't sentence him to prison. They can't sentence him to even jail time. You know, there's no power there from a constitutional perspective. So they want to but they want to have their cake and eat it too. But they want to preserve that felony, as I was telling you before, that felony conviction. So this is the way to do that, to say, hey, look, he's still a convicted felon, yet I don't have the power to do any of this. I don't have the power to impose any kind of punitive measures.
Now, is that a conditional discharge in which you say, okay, I can't do anything to this person, but he still has the condition of being convicted?
Exactly. Okay. This is going to be subject to appeal. I think the felony conviction, the finding of the jury is going to be subject to appeal. And President Trump, his lawyers still have said that they're going to be appealing this, and it's going to go through the New York appellate system. I mean, I don't know if you're going to get any measure of justice from any of the state courts in New York. We'll wait to see whether the appeals court actually can decides that they're going to. I mean, there's any measure of anything that they could overturn the conviction on. But we'll see whether we'll see how that plays out in the coming weeks and months. But for right now, I mean, the left is, you know, they just wanted to have their cake and eat it too. And this is, again, this is really a pathetic kind of gasp from the left. And I think you see rejecting of the political voice that the American people spoke with in November. And from my perspective, looking at it right now, it's really a pathetic kind of just sideshow, really, really not concerned with the American people or the direction this country is going in. What it really is just to have this felony conviction for some reason that they think that it's really important to them.
Mike O'Neill, once again, Landmark Legal Foundation, landmarklegal.org. Let's shift gears here to the Supreme Court. And there's a lot going on with the Supreme Court. I know that early in December, right before Christmas, we had the United States v. Scrimeti. Is that how you pronounce case? And I'm kind of wondering if you could explain the importance of this case. This has to do with transgender surgeries being performed on children. What's up at stake here?
That was oral arguments were held last, the early December. And this was whether the Equal Protection Clause of the United States Constitution in the Bill of Rights is violated by Tennessee's ban on puberty blockers and hormone therapies for teens. Remember what you saw here. You saw the state of Tennessee said, look, these drugs that are being administered to teenagers to block puberty, there's a ban on that. We're going to institute a prohibition on that. And you saw, again, some of the usual suspects on the left with a vested interest in this have decided to challenge that ban and alleged that it was somehow discriminatory on the basis of sex. And so that was the issue here in front of the court, is whether the Tennessee's ban on puberty blockers was a form akin to a discrimination on the basis of sex. And, you know, the oral arguments were weighed in the side, if you want to analyze it, weighed in the side of Tennessee, that Tennessee had a compelling interest, had a reasonable interest in protecting teenagers and prohibiting the administration of drugs there. I think you saw Chief Justice Roberts was saying at oral arguments, he was loath to wade into the discussion on the medicinal purposes of these drugs. And he said, look, we're going to defer to the legislature here. If the state legislature is going to find this and make a finding on this, then we're going to defer to them. Justice Kavanaugh, who might be interpreted as a swing justice there, a swing vote on this, kind of put his hands up and said, look, you guys are making arguments on both sides. I'm going to leave this to the democratic process, kind of what he said in the Dobbs decision. Mm. That's the abortion decision from a few years ago.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I think what you're going to get is you're going to get from the Supreme Court, again, this is just my, you know, I always have to put this proviso on it, Bill. I think you're going to have to say, I think that the court, the justices, at least five or six of the justices are going to say, look, Tennessee does have a compelling interest to ban these puberty blockers for the administration of teens. And look, once you're an adult, if you want to do what you want to do, but look, can't do these to kids. And if states wants to pass laws banning these drugs or these medicine or whatever you want to call it to teens, then it's the state's purview to do that.
There's another medical case, which is the oral arguments have not been scheduled yet at this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what is in play with Kerr versus Planned Parenthood. This is sounding like something that the pro-life groups have been probably wanting to do battle with for a long time.
Yeah, so as I just said, the Dobbs decision, remember, that was a couple of years ago. That was the decision that ultimately left it to the states to decide how to regulate abortion. If a state wants to institute a ban on abortion, then it doesn't violate any constitutional rights. It's within a state's rights. It's in the state's purview to ban abortions, to prohibit abortions in the state. This is kind of in that vein, right? This is whether South Carolina can put up a Planned Parenthood from receiving taxpayer funding.
Hey, Mike, hold on. Yeah. I just lost you there for a second. You want to try that again? Okay.
Oh, sure. Kerr versus Planned Parenthood. Again, this is a case that deals with South Carolina, the state of South Carolina. They prohibited Planned Parenthood. We all know what Planned Parenthood is. That's that organization that provides abortions to whomever out throughout the country. But what they do is they receive state money via Medicaid. Remember, Medicaid is that program for the states where you pay for health care. Medicaid funds are state funds. They go to Planned Parenthood. Well, the state of South Carolina said, look, we're going to prohibit Planned Parenthood from receiving any of those Medicaid funds because they provide abortion. And again, here we're talking about what's within the state's purview under the Dobbs decision, whether a state can prohibit this. That's going to be up in further court. Or again, oral arguments have yet to be scheduled on this, but we're going to see exactly how far a state can do when it comes to regulating these abortions, whether they can stop funding, stop state money from flowing into organizations that provide abortions.
Do you see a time over the next 2, 3, 4 years in the Trump administration that states will be more muscular, either in favor of Trump administration or perhaps in Oregon and California's case, battling them? Because here in Oregon, just about what we hear coming out of the new attorney general is that we must be here to resist, as if that was the job of being the attorney general. But how do you see it?
Absolutely. And that's what you are going to see. I think you're going to see the bluer states, as you said, Oregon, California, are really going to be pushing the edge of the envelope, and they're going to be trying to really, really attack or fight this reduction of the administrative state. What's really interesting, Bill,
but what you talked about, it's interesting, fighting the reduction of the administrative state. Isn't that bizarre?
Let me give you an example. Again, California is kind of always the test bed for all of this stuff. If you see environmental laws or environmental regulations that are enacted by the EPA, for example, a lot of those regulations have their genesis in California. And we all know that California kind of sets the standard when it comes to emissions for automobiles or something like that. And so you're going to see a lot of tension between the blue states and then probably the Trump administration, and to a lesser extent, probably against red states. The extent to which these states can buck the trend to de-administrate, to reduce the size and scope of the federal government. For example, again, if you're going to have a revocation of any kind of environmental regulations, you're going to have left-leaning states are going to say, hey, look, if you revoke this regulation, we're going to suffer a harm. Therefore, you can't reduce it. So you can't revoke it. So I see, from my perspective, if, for example, you have a Trump administration come in and they start revoking onerous regulations, you're going to see states initiating lawsuits fighting the revocation of those regulations, saying, look, if California revoke this, this emissions regulation, for example, California's going to say, no, we're going to suffer this cognizable harm. Federal government, you can't do this under the Administrative Procedure Act. So I think you're going to see a lot of fights in regard to that in the administrative capacity.
What I would be really interested to see if the Trump administration will revoke the exemption that California has right now, because California, in essence, sets the emission standards for everybody else. And that's really a nasty stew when you think about it, that one state ends up determining what all the other 50 states have to do. Wouldn't you agree, just legally, as a matter of process?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly – and that they've had – here we go. We're going to say have their cake and eat it too. You can control one legislature supermajority in California. You can dictate policy for people in West Virginia or people in Florida. I mean, that's not how our federalist system should work. It should operate. So I think, we're going to have some interesting constitutional debates about that going forward.
What do you believe will be Trump's biggest battle when it comes to making immigration reform stick? Is there anything that jumps to mind? I don't know if you get a lot involved in the immigration cases or not, but what is your take on it? Because this has been a big one.
Yeah, it'll be some. I think he has more of a mandate than he did in his first term. I think you saw a lot of the hiccups when it came to immigration reform or in Congress, right? When you want to get new laws passed, that are going to, you know, put some sensible limitations on immigration. And I don't think he's going to have much problem from an administrative capacity. I think the folks he's putting into the government are going to be hard charges when it comes to enforcing the nation's immigration laws. But if you want to have any new laws on the books, I think the problems could be like in Congress. However, I'm a little more optimistic than I was back in the first term, because I think he has much more of a mandate to govern. And I think you have a lot more pro-Trump members of Congress than you did what are we talking about? 8 years ago? I don't even know at this point. 8 years ago. So I think the battle will still be in Congress, you know, assembling a necessary coalition in order to get any new legislation passed. I think his administration is fortunately, and this is fortunate, it's filled with a lot more people who share his vision for the country and are going to work to enact that vision, as opposed to what happened in his first term when you had more kind of institutionalized Republicans who were more committed to going with the status quo. I think you're going to actually see some more committed individuals committed to serious change and reform.
Yeah, I'm thinking that the way I could see this is that everybody knows that Trump is a consummate deal maker, likes cutting a deal, and knows there has to be a little bit of give and take on something like this. I could see, in order to get perhaps some permanent immigration reform done in the positive end, which would help his, then he ends up throwing a bone to the Californias and the Oregons of the world. You can see that kind of thing happening, right? You know, that kind of deal.
Certainly, and again, you could see that probably throughout. I'm guardedly optimistic that you're going to be able to see that throughout the administration, particularly even in a foreign capacity. I think, you know, he's much more likely to make deals with China or make deals with Russia to lessen the tension in the world, give Israel the rein it needs to do to ensure that it's secure. But when it comes to, you know, China or Russia, I think a similar thing, just by nature of his basis. I mean, and what's interesting, this is a little bit further afield from what we were talking about, but I think it's interesting what's going into a Trump administration, you see things that are kind of off, you know, that most Americans don't think about. You know, Greenland, for example, isn't that an interesting thing?
Yeah, that one just kind of came out of left field, didn't it? It's like I didn't realize that Greenland was the thing, but now Greenland. It's so funny though. I was talking with a Canadian yesterday who was talking about how the Alberta section of Canada would overall love to join the United States. And it's actually being openly talked about because they've been so disgusted after, you know, 15 years of Trudeau, you know, there, who just quit. And now we have Greenland talking about wanting independence from Denmark and wanting to make their own decisions. What an interesting time. It really is.
Yeah, I think it is. He's not bound by the paradigms of the republic of traditional Republicans or Democrats or Washington institutions. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, people, what was dismissed as lunacy 4 or 5 years ago, when you actually look at it, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, this is an area of the world that's going to be strategically important going forward. And the fact that there's only 54,000 people in Greenland. And so you're talking about something that wouldn't be a heavy lift for the United States of America to make some sort of deal where we have some sort of, I don't think it's going to be the 51st state by any measure, but some sort of American protectorate where America has rights and privileges when it comes to Greenland, because it's going to be an important part of the world. And this is what's interesting. Again, this is what kind of gives me some optimism going forward, is that it's a new era, and that Washington isn't going to do business in the way it's been doing business in the past 25 years. And I think, you know, for all intents and purposes, it's really been a failure for all of us.
Boy, it's really going to be interesting times, and I appreciate you being there to keep us informed on this legal side of things and the various battles that you're involved in these cases. And it's Mike O'Neill once again, Landmark Legal Foundation, landmarklegal.org. We'll have you back, I guess, next week. We'll be probably talking about TikTok, I guess, seeing what's going on with that one, all right? Thank you, Michael. Good talk.
Take care, Bill. Bye-bye.
Bye. It is 6:58 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG.
Hi, it's Bob at Father and Son Jewelry.
And Debbie.
Deb, you know, I remember one time we had this one couple that had almost no money. They went everywhere else looking for an engagement set, couldn't find anything. We found them something nice. Now, it wasn't a gigantic diamond, but for under $200. Do you remember when she started crying because she finally had gotten a ring?
After 36 years of not having the wedding band that she had always wanted.
Yep. And that's what Father and Son is all about. Family helping families.
Right.
An intelligent solution saves you money. This is Randall at Advanced Air. It takes an expert to navigate the current HVAC rebates. Call Advanced Air to save big on equipment replacement. Advanced Air is currently offering an additional rebate on qualifying systems, up to $1,000 on Bryant mini split and crossover heat pumps. Some exclusions apply. Advanced Air and Bryant do whatever it takes to deliver intelligent heating and cooling solutions. Visit myadvancedair.com for details.
Your intelligent heating and cooling solution is at myadvancedair.com.
AmericanRancherGarage.com.
American Rancher Garage, United in Service.
Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley with American Rancher Garage, wishing you a happy new year. Start 2025 right with saving 25 for 25. That's right, save 25% on all lube oil filter services and BG branded services, like engine cooling system, power steering system, and transmission services throughout January. Let's get your vehicle ready for the new year. Call 541-499-6673 to schedule your appointment today. Some restrictions apply. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
News Talk 106.3 KMET. This is the Bill Myers Show.
And we'll break for Town Hall News and the Hannity update, for that matter. And then we're going to talk with a former Ohio congressman, four-term Ohio congressman. He's out of Congress now. I like talking to people who get out of Congress because they're a little less politic. You know what I mean? They're willing to actually say something about what they're really thinking. But I'd be curious what his thoughts are about Speaker Mike Johnson and the chances for a good Trump agenda here over the next 4 years. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, that'll be all on the way. This is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. Pebble in your shoe Tuesday. Hi, good morning. You have a quick one. Who's this caller? Welcome.
Hello? Yes, concerned citizen here in Medford.
Hello, concerned citizen. What do you have for Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday?
Well, last night on the news, they said that they had 5,100 citations on 8th and Main. And that compared to 135 the same time last year.
Yes, that was what I was alluding to earlier when I talked about someone's making bank on the new speeding limits in downtown Medford, and it's not the drivers, right?
No, and they also had admitted that there was also a infraction of a person with a vehicle. I think they said within the last 2 weeks, but I could be wrong on that.
I think the wrong message is being taken away from this, because you know what's going to happen. The normal state officials or your city officials, your police chief, et cetera, nothing personal about this. They're saying, well, you know, we're telling you, you have to slow down through this area, right? That, and you saw that's what they were talking about, correct? About the downtown.
Yeah, but I'm saying I don't go downtown anymore. I'm done with it.
Well, I agree, but I think it goes even deeper than this. They were talking before about the old speed limit, which was not a dangerous speed limit in downtown Medford at that time, and they had only 130-something citations, and now it's thousands of citations. What that is telling you is that the old speed limit is the right speed limit, because it is the speed limit which people naturally wish to assume in that area, and that's the way speed limits are supposed to be set. Not what some people within the city council or within the police department or within the state are deciding to set. Now, I'm trying to be reasonable about this. You see where I'm going here is that when the fact that there were so few citations before they changed it tells you everything.
Correct. 35 years I've been driving that road, and out of nowhere, they had pictures of me. They could tell if I shaved that day or not.
Mm-hmm. So as far as a pebble in your shoe, you want them to reverse course on this one and restore the old speed limit or not?
Well, think if you had a business downtown and all of a sudden your clientele dropped off by half. How would you feel?
Pretty bad. But it seems that the city of Medford is more concerned about, I don't know. I don't know if it's about the money from the fines or not, because there's only a percentage of that. But still, they're going to take the wrong message from this. Look at all those speeders. No, you created the speeders before when you were nailing people, those 135 people that they were nailing with the old speed limit. Those were the true minority of people that were deserving of getting pumped.
All part of the 15-minute city and the Agenda 21
bingo
format.
Bingo. It's about making people not want to go downtown, or you're not going to have a car downtown. And I guess next, will they be coming up with the congestion pricing like New York just put in? I hope not.
Exactly.
And you got to rise
up.
And you got. But you see, the thing is, though, people have to take the time and go yell at the city council and say, hey, we don't want this stuff. Okay?
Yep.
All right.
Exactly.
Thanks for the call.